B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985thesportshub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Very, very simple format this week for us. Mike and I have two opening takes, and then we are going to answer Twitter questions that were left for us. So, Mike, without any further ado, give me your opening thought this week relating to wrestling sports entertainment.
All right, Jimmy. Well, I'm going to go with the empire of them all, the WWE, as they are trying to put themselves on the top echelon of everyone because of the new threat of AEW for competition. So WWE, it pertains to the couple of Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins. And bringing it into real life on a real life scenario onto the stage. And it just last week was the tip of the iceberg for me, even though it's so young for this on the screen for everyone to see and sticking it down our throat. But the tip of the iceberg for me came when Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch had a backstage promo. And then Mike Kanellis and Maria Kanellis came in there to form that mixed tag team match. But before that, Becky Lynch made a joking comment and a sexual reference of, oh, you'll be lucky later or something like that. Now, listen, I have no issue with people having fun like that. I am not married. I've had relationships in the past. I'm fine with that stuff. Do it off the air. Do that on your own time. I want the badass Becky Lynch back pre-WrestleMania 35. It's gone soft. This on-air relationship, I think it is not, it's forced. I don't like a real on-air, a real-life scenario being brought to the on-air, especially in a relationship situation like that. We've seen it before. I hated it with the Matt Hardy Edge stuff and Lita, because that was a real life thing that happened. He cheated on Edge got Lita over Matt Hardy, and then other stuff like that. I know the Vince buried the hatchet with Bret Hart on the Montreal Screwjob. I mean, stuff like that can work a little bit, but this it's too much force down our throat. I want the real badass Becky character back. Seth Rollins, I think he's gone soft with this thing. I want him to be the top guy. If this is going to be the case, then give me Brock Lesnar. Take that Universal title off him right now, because you don't look like a champion when you're being like that in that particular case, again, with Becky Lynch and being, kissy-facey with her. Do that behind the scenes. Don't give it to me on camera every week. To quote Joe Murray, I'm out on that.
So if they had booked them better, would you be in on it, or you're just out on the whole relationship on camera thing altogether?
Maybe if they booked it better.
If Becky's just doing the same, come out, kick ass, take names, and Seth Rollins is doing something similar, but whereas they are booked poorly against Baron Corbin, who from a storyline aspect should be in that picture because, of course, he retired Kurt Angle and he's doing the whole run down the resume thing. And Lacey Evans, who's new, and we all want new, but doesn't seem ready new.
Yeah.
So maybe if the opponents were better, we wouldn't feel as, I don't want to say awkward, because if you look how the last 2 weeks, Seth and Becky have been booked pretty strongly in Becky tapping out Mike Kanellis, and then this week on Raw, Seth and Becky both beat Andrade and Zelina Vega.
Zelina Vega, yeah. I just think
so. They've been booked pretty strongly, but right. You just don't like the whole.
It's a cringe. I have a cringe every time I've seen it there. The real life stuff brought into the on camera thing. It's driving me nuts. I hate it. Hate it. So give me. I want, you know, mean Becky. I want. Driving Becky. I want the Becky that's the toughest one to take down. You're the champion. I don't want soft. I want real character here.
So in with regard to Becky,
yep.
Why has she cooled off? And
I just
so here, yeah. Here's my answer to my own question.
Yep.
Is after Charlotte and after yep. Ronda, who else is in the division?
I know. You're right. I mean, those are your top... You know, of that tier right there. But
because Lacey was new and
yep.
I was happy to see Lacey for a one off.
Yep.
But now we're at a point where Becky beat Lacey clean at Money in the Bank with a tap out and we're supposed to forget about it.
I know. Exactly. And then also.
And now they're in a rematch and it's winner take all. And they're like, oh, well, how does this affect the relationship? Well, so who else should have been in that position now? I would make the argument that it should have been Alexa Bliss.
You could go with that very
but
easy.
But the idea is that you've already seen that on SmackDown. But I would argue right. that you saw a lot of Mick Foley and Triple H before they were main eventers. You saw some of Steve Austin and The Rock for the Intercontinental Championship before they were headlining WrestleManias. So if done properly, and in fact, Charlotte and Becky were feuding leading into Dallas at WrestleMania 32 before they got to the point this past year where they're headlining WrestleMania 35. So as yep. long as it's quality, people will kind of forgive it. And Gargano and Ciampa were feuding for, what, the better part of 2 years? They're part sure. of the story. So if it's good, if it's quality, you can get away with it.
Now, you could also do the whole unification of the title because you do have Bayley as your SmackDown Women's Champion, but I don't think that's in the cards anytime soon to unify the titles and have Becky feud with Bayley for that one championship right there. They could do that, but they're choosing to keep the SmackDown and Raw Women's titles separate, even though it doesn't make any sense. That's another rant of mine, too, this whole wild card thing, because Bayley has been on Raw the last 3 weeks in a row as a SmackDown Women's Champion. What the hell is that about?
Kofi's,
I'm done with this wild card.
Kofi's been there a few weeks in a row, too.
Kofi's been there. You name him.
Here's a scenario, right? Here's a scenario for you.
Yeah.
Paul Heyman has teased that Brock Lesnar is cashing in on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I have a little bit more thoughts on that in a little bit.
Can't wait.
So if Brock Lesnar cashes in during this winner-take-all match, does he also get Becky's belt?
That's a great question.
Because the stipulation is if Seth yeah. loses, Becky loses her title too.
That's a great question.
So does then Brock hand the women's title to Paul? And then we have, a situation. We have a WCW situation where,
yeah. But hearing that out right there, if that is the case, if Brock Lesnar were to get the Universal title and then he gets the women's one, that's the perfect scenario for Paul Heyman to flex his muscle as the new executive director of Raw. And yes, I will choose who the new Raw Women's Champion is. That's how you do that.
Oh, and what if he hands it to Charlotte Flair?
See, that would be... But you know what, Jimmy? I would be in on that because I think Charlotte is a good champion for people to strive to, get to her. Like, she's a great heel champion, and then it's good to, for her to be at the top of the hill where you're trying to aim to be where she's at. And that's how good she is. That's how talented she is. So I would totally... be on board with that scenario if Charlotte were to be champion.
I don't think they have any. I think the reason why she's been kind of out in the picture and doing more mainstream stuff is because they don't have a main event program for her in the same way that they kept Alexa Bliss.
Alexa
I almost
Bliss.
Had that Nikki Cross Scottish thing going because I am, of course, part Scottish. I think they've kept her. I think they've kept Charlotte away in the same way that they've kept Bliss away because they want to do important stuff with both of them. And I think Bliss would have probably been better in this spot, and you could have had Lacey Evans chase Bailey rather than I. There's more to be done with Bliss and Becky than there is at this point with Lacey and Becky.
Yeah, but absolutely.
They've chosen a different direction.
And you know what? And Lacey Evans, you're right. The one-off, yeah, I could go with that and so forth. She got the push right out of the gate. I mean, that's Becky Lynch's first opponent as a SmackDown and Raw Women's Champion after WrestleMania. That's a big deal. That's a big spot to be in. I mean, you look at, I mean, the biggest one I can think of was, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin when he won the championship over Shawn Michaels in 1998. And then his first feud right there, Mankind, for two pay-per-views.
And it was almost a third one.
It was very close.
It was almost a third one. But I think, right. I think though, in the case of Mick Foley being picked for that spot, it was more about Steve wanting to... I think it was, one, Steve wanted to work with Mick.
Yeah.
And...
He did.
It was also the fact that Mick was an established character who was... Who was shifting gears from one role in a tag team with Terry Funk to a new villain role that was going to move him up the ladder because he had proven to be a draw with The Undertaker as a villain character. Right. So now you're just putting Lacey, who has all the potential in the world, in a top spot that she's never been in, and you didn't necessarily protect her in that spot where we're supposed to forget that she tapped out at Money in the Bank clean in the middle. And she's had some other stuff, and not for nothing, her right hand that knocked out Becky that led to Charlotte winning was made to look a little weak when Charlotte goes for the pin, Becky inside cradles her, Charlotte kicks out, and then there's the boot, and then there's the pin.
Yep, and it just felt like
if you're gonna have the woman's right from Lacey Evans mean something. Then as soon as she hits it on Becky, Charlotte's got to win. Or Charlotte's got to do something to emphasize that. It can't be an inside cradle. Now you're just overthinking it.
Right. No, that's fair. And just with my comparison there with Mick Foley on the Stone Cold Steve Austin, Lacey Evans scenario, it just felt like that's the way WWE was telling us a story that this is going to be the biggest championship that they've had in a long time. You know, because it was a similar scenario we've talked about before, Becky coming up the ranks, getting the crowd on her side, and becoming a fan favorite, almost how Stone Cold Steve Austin was. So I just felt like that scenario right there, that's a big spot for Lacey Evans. And just getting that third opportunity right here again. Here we go. Three matches right after WrestleMania. Boom.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
So my original,
let's hear it.
My original thought for this week was I was going to just run down Monday Night Raw, but I started SmackDown, and we're recording this in the middle of SmackDown. So if something happens, you know, we'll react naturally to it. Hmm. But what I was going to do was I sat down on Monday night and I invested 3 hours, all 3 hours. I sat and I took notes because. I haven't consistently watched the week to week programming in a long time, right? And I thought I'm going to sit down, I'm going to invest because everybody told me that last week's Raw was amazing, and I watched like two parts of it, and I thought, okay, this is pretty good. I'm going to sit down, watch it live, and then I just ripped it to shreds. But before we get there, I watched SmackDown. The open of SmackDown, I thought was awesome. Kevin Owens, a favorite character of mine, he had a great conversation on Lillian Garcia's podcast, and he talked openly about his issues of striving for perfection and how his goal now is to be a good guy and to be a great main event good guy. So SmackDown opened up tonight, parking lot brawl, Dolph Ziggler's KO led to Shane telling Ziggler to go into the building, and Shane sent Kevin Owens home. They go inside. The commentators are running down the show for the evening, which is something that I like. Kevin Owens interrupted, coming through the crowd. He grabbed a microphone, and he ran down the McMahon's promising change. But the only thing that changed was Shane got more power and television time. Owens screamed that nobody wanted to see Shane McMahon anymore. Owens jumped on the table, said he's sick of Shane, calling himself the best in the world. Shane tried to cut his microphone multiple times. Owens then grabbed Byron Saxton's headset, started talking into that, and he complained that Shane McMahon takes TV time away from Apollo Crews, Buddy Murphy, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. Wow. Security eventually chased Owens out of the building, went through the crowd, and Corey Graves on commentary just suggested that Kevin Owens committed career suicide. And the crowd, as the announcers are kind of resetting everything, broke out into a Kevin Owens chant. Now, this is an obvious spinoff of the CM Punk promo from years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And if this is a way that Kevin Owens goes into being a good guy, I'm all for it. I love Kevin Owens. He wants to be a good guy. The common man pizza thing, I don't think was going to work, but this will. This will absolutely work. Yep. And so that's one of the good things about WWE. The second good thing, Samoa Joe, consistently good. Promos are great. They're focused. They're direct. They're to the point. Joe doesn't need a match. He just needs a promo. He's going to match with Kofi Kingston on Sunday for the WWE Championship. I won't be able to watch it live, but I'm in for it. I'm in for it. Totally in for it. Do I think he's going to win? I don't think so, but I hope so.
He might.
The build for Nikki Cross, who, again, another favorite of mine. Since she was put in this Friend of Alexa Bliss story, she's been pretty well protected and featured. So these are some examples of when the WWE wants to do characters well, they can. You know, the issue with Cross was the crowd didn't care on Monday night, which leads me to what I was originally going to talk about before I watched SmackDown. I think I watched WCW Monday Nitro from 2000.
Okay. From
that's how insulted I was.
Okay, so another okay. Wow. Well, we know who's coming in to be in charge of SmackDown next week.
And it looks like he already got his hands on Monday Night Raw. No. He didn't. So here are my issues. Here are my issues with Monday Night Raw, because this frustrated me. And I think I was offended because I lost 3 hours of my life that I'm never going to get back.
Yep.
And my time is very important. In fact, it's more important than your time.
Oh, it's very.
They opened with an elimination mixed match where men and women can only fight each other. So Becky eliminates Vega and then hangs on the apron as if if Rollins gets beat, Becky and Andrade can have a match. But they can't, because it's been told to me that the men and the women can't wrestle. Although last week on Raw, Becky Lynch tapped out Mike Kanellis in a mixed match. Do you follow me?
Okay. It's inconsistent. There's inconsistent.
Why is Rey Mysterio getting beat up by Bobby Lashley? Why is Rey Mysterio, who is on the 18th green, I almost quoted Maz there. I didn't mean to. Rey Mysterio's on the 18th hole of his career. Why is he being sacrificed to Bobby Lashley? You can't get No Way Jose to lose to Bobby Lashley. You have to have him lose to Cesaro for the second week in a row. I mean, at least it wasn't EC3, right? Then you have a 2 out of 3 fall 6-man match. And Elias walks out. So the good guys now have a 3-on-2 advantage. What odds are they overcoming?
And Elias, who is allegedly on the SmackDown roster, again, the stupid wild card, he's on Raw. I hate it.
And then Paul Heyman comes out and does a promo about Brock cashing in, which that's fine. He says he's going to cash in on Sunday against either Kofi or Seth Rollins.
Yep.
And then here's the line that got me. He hasn't lied since before WrestleMania 30.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lie.
That was pretty strong.
That's a lie, but that's his out, right?
Yeah. Yep. Of course.
So then there's the main event. And Cedric Alexander was a man under a mask, and he was the partner of Roman Reigns fighting McIntyre and Shane McMahon.
And I had a problem with that finish.
And Cedric Alexander loses.
Yes.
So then they unmask him, and he's there. And I like Cedric Alexander. I liked his Ring of Honor work. He did great stuff there. So I'm confused.
Why did he not give him the pin?
Is it good that he's in the main event, or is it bad that they used Cedric Alexander to lose in the main event? But I mean, at the end of the day, Mike, Renee Young said, "Hey, the age of Alexander is here." To which I yelled internally, because I can't yell in my house loud enough. Awesome that a 205 live guy can now lose in the main event. Cool. Right. We've never seen that before. Here's the age of Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
So my bigger point is this week-to-week TV show is just so inconsistent. The pay-per-views are awesome. The house shows I love. And I really didn't want to bash Raw, but it insulted me, and I lost 3 hours of my life because of that.
Well, that's a lot of extensive notes there, Jimmy. And just, I know you mentioned that, you know, you were told last week that the show was amazing, and I did see the first hour there with the Braun Strowman, Bobby Lashley going through the Titantron, and yeah, that was really, it was really cool how that all went down and everything, and you know, it seemed like it was a real life scenario with the both going to the hospital and everything. But I wouldn't go as far to say the show was amazing. There were some confusing points, and I'm really happy for Mike and Maria Kanellis to get that push they deserve, airtime on the Raw. And I was invested in that. Now, yes, with the personal connection, but invested with it this week because Maria did tease that you may not be the father to Mike Bennett. So that opens Mike Kanellis. So that opens up another storyline right there. That's the only thing I was heavily invested on. Sure, when Paul Heyman comes out with the tease of Brock Lesnar, I'm fine with that too. I think that's great to set up something. But everything else, though, way too inconsistent. We don't know what is going to happen, or just like who's going to appear week to week. The whole wild card thing is absolutely thrown off. Jim Ross talked about it on his podcast a couple of weeks ago, reshuffling the deck. And when you do reshuffle the deck, you have it there, but then you just throw that out after this superstar shakeup because it makes absolutely no sense with this wild card rule. So that needs to be implemented here. Particular superstars on one show only, the way that you had it built up, and not both on each week there, because we don't know who to root for, and it's just too much thrown at you. Too much, too many storylines, and way too off the grid. I can't get invested.
So you know what was really good this weekend?
Yeah.
New Japan. The G1 started. Saturday night, 4 hours, amazing stuff. Mike, I know you've opened your mind more to things outside the WWE world. What'd you think of the G1 starting up?
I did not see it yet. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm still sticking to my ground. Moxley, baby. Let's go.
All right. Well, I would suggest investing 4 hours of your life into night one of the G1 because it was great stuff.
So between that and this is a huge weekend coming up. We got AEW on Saturday night. You do have the WWE pay-per-view Sunday night, and locally, and actually Saturday night, Evolve Anniversary Show as well on the WWE Network. Big weekend, Jimmy. Big weekend, and then the G1. So it's huge. It's a great, great time to be a fan.
It's awesome.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Promised questions, so let's fire away. First off, Jason wants to know, Our thoughts on AEW pulling Sean Spears from an indie show almost last minute that he booked prior to signing with AEW, and that AEW and his agent said multiple times was a lock, and then AEW allowed it afterwards. Afterwards, not after yeah. woods. Sorry, that's my South Boston in me coming out. My apologies. After woods. After yeah. woods, not after woods. It's not mm-hmm. after woods. Sorry.
After woods, same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So my opinion, Mike, I don't love it, but me guessing here, mm-hmm. Sean Spears got his AEW contract and then decided he didn't want to travel to Maine for an indie show. And he right. used elements around him to get out of this booking. There's just something about his body language that just kind of irks me. He did a comedy show with Ziggler in New York, and he was there with a bunch of his friends, and he just looked like he wasn't interested in being there. He just kind of looked miserable.
Yep.
And maybe it's just a look. I mean, Mike Tenay, who you'll remember from WCW and sure. TNA, he always kind of looked angry, even though he wasn't. Mm-hmm. So to answer Jason's question, I bet he got his contract from AEW and just didn't want to do the main show. But again, yep. that's just a guess.
Yeah.
Do you have a thought on it, Mike?
Yeah, that sounds accurate, too. I know it's this weekend, and I just don't think that, yeah, no real investment there. And as far as AEW maybe just saying, hey, listen, you know, we're not going to – you're exclusive to us. It's kind of like with The Undertaker last year when he was doing the independent stuff, and now he signed on that new contract with WWE. He has to be under that circumstance there that you are strictly with them, not able to do your own independent stuff. Maybe they're trying to play that a little bit, but I don't think I wouldn't.
I don't
read
think
too much
I don't think
it.
So, Mike. Because if you look, Moxley's doing Northeast Wrestling. He's doing New Japan. The Young right. Bucks are doing an indie show this weekend, or did one this past weekend. So I don't think that they're going to enforce exclusivity until we get to October.
Well, yeah. Once they get that weekly TV deal, it's just. I mean, I'm just saying, like maybe they. I don't think it happened, but it could have been that scenario where they said, you know, this is how it's going to be, so don't get used to that. But I just don't think it's too much really to invest in. He didn't want to do it and said, see you later. So it would have been a man if you're up in Maine. Sorry for you people up there. You're not going to get Sean Spears this weekend.
Maine's a great place to be this time of year anyway. I don't know why Sean Spears wouldn't want to go.
Well, the coast is nice. Portland.
And you get those rum buckets and you're good to go. question from Lauren, our friend Lauren. With Sasha Banks' return imminent, should she come back as a face or a heel? Also, will there be any negative crowd reaction when she returns? For me, the story is there. She comes back. She attacks Bayley as a villain. Maybe Banks comes back as early as Sunday on Extreme Rules. To help out Bayley in her handicap match title defense against Bliss and Cross. I would think that Bayley versus Banks is a SummerSlam match, which should be great. It should yeah. be Bank. It should be great. And I think that they're going to play into Sasha being bratty, and they'll tie all this into storyline, and they'll explain how she walked out over the tag team title situation, and they'll kind of go from. I think they'll go from there. What do you yeah. think?
Yeah, Sasha Banks is much better as a heel than the babyface, especially with Bayley, because this feud was supposed to take place last year. Sasha Banks did tweet out the other day, too, on July 6th. She said, quote, I think I might love wrestling a little too much. So, you know, read between the lines there that it is only a matter of time when she does come back. That was my thought, too. She would be back this weekend. Either she does help Bayley, but also I wouldn't be shocked if she does interfere, turn on Bayley right there. You have the whole month to build, now less than a month actually, to SummerSlam because it is early this year, August 11th, and this Sunday will be July 14th. So you get three Raws really to get a solid buildup going into that. So I think it could happen as early as this Sunday too.
Maybe Banks cost Bayley the title and
yeah,
that's how they get into beard. That story, and then maybe Nikki Cross is the one who serves to benefit from it, and she's the one who wins the women's title, and now you've got another situation with Bliss and Nikki Cross.
And the way we're going right now, Jimmy, here is Bayley as your SmackDown Women's Champion. Of course, it would only make sense for her to open up Monday Night Raw as a SmackDown Women's Champion the night after, right?
Of course.
So Said nobody ever.
Said
go ahead.
Nobody ever. From I had a friend send me Bailey's new T-shirt, and it was look at this bleep hole with a new shirt.
Nice. Funny. I like it.
From our friend Carl. Do you think with the Fox deal, the women's division would benefit from their own show until unification? Currently, it seems they only get a couple minutes a match again, and some matches, not enough ladies seem to be getting chances. So I have a really detailed answer to this, Mike, if you want to take the lead on it. Okay.
No, you go. Let me hear it.
I don't think the women would benefit from their own weekly show. If that happens, it might end up in the world of 205 Live, which is 40 minutes of really good action, but the live crowd isn't into it because it's taped after their main shows. Should the women be given more time on TV? Probably, but I like how, in this week's case, I like how they structured the Bailey-Nikki Cross segments. The live audience didn't react because I think the live audience was confused because Bailey's supposed to be a baby face, she's supposed to be good, and Nikki Cross is supposed to be good, even though she's working with the evil Alexa Bliss. I'm not sure that they've kind of made that clear. As far as the WWE, they certainly have the talent on the roster for the women to have their own show, but I worry about creative. What I've liked for the women for a while now is they haven't been overexposed. So the Charlotte Becky program was going on SmackDown while Ronda was taking on all challengers on Raw, whether that be Nia Jax or Alexa Bliss. And then the Ronda Becky thing turned into the Ronda Charlotte thing, which then they added Asuka to, and then Asuka versus Becky and so on. But in the case of Charlotte, Becky, and Ronda, it identified those three as top stars. And even if you want to go back further than that, Carmella, when she was the SmackDown Women's Champion, she was featured in a major program with Charlotte and Asuka, and then in a major match in SummerSlam with Charlotte and Becky. So the focus has been on the championships within the women's division, which is good, and I think that's why, for a time, they were the biggest draw in the company and the most important aspect on the show, whether they were main eventing or not, and that obviously led into the main event of WrestleMania 35.
Yeah, it did. And you know what? As far as them having their own show, I don't think that I'm with you. I don't think they need it. And sure, Carl's to his point that some are not getting, you know, the time that they used to get and so forth. Carmella, another one for you too. Naomi, you know, she was the women's champion at WrestleMania 33 when she won in Orlando.
And
there,
she won the Battle Royal in New Orleans.
And the Battle Royal in New Orleans, exactly. So, and then the women's tag team championships, it just seems like that's kind of been, you know, so irrelevant since.
I read recently that the Iconics were supposed to start a feud with the Bella Twins over the tag team championships, but because Nikki had an injury and she has a cyst on her brain, medically disqualified. And creative just hasn't come up with anything else for, which to me, it's you have Asuka and Kairi Sane who were supposed to have a match over in Japan for if they won the match over there, they were going to get title shot. And I don't know if they won the match or not. They probably did. Yep. So when is that story going to be played out?
Exactly. And it's just, so there's so much talent there, underutilized, yes. I don't think they need their own show. I think that they have been the cornerstone for WWE over the last year. I really do. And I think when we do get the return of Ronda Rousey, which I believe will happen within the next year, because she has teased that too, and then other, you know, returns of Sasha Banks and maybe shake up the Becky scenario with the championship, I think that they will be the top draw for the company as they were pretty much at this time last year going into WrestleMania 35.
Well, and I think
it's still interesting. It's a good draw.
Yeah. The women's division is awesome. And it's
fantastic.
It's not overexposed. They peaked Charlotte, Becky, and Ronda too soon.
Yeah.
But that happens. They did a really good job building that for the main event. It just, it happened to peak too soon. And there were holes in that story, but generally they did it as well as they could.
They did it as best they could.
They did it as well as they could. Yep. From Father Chip Haynes. Hines.
Good friend of the show.
Father Hines.
Father Hines.
Any chance of Charlotte being inner brand champion a la Becky Two Belts, or does the WWE want to keep the brand separate except for the big pay-per-view events? I don't see Charlotte being a double champion right now. I do think she'll be the main focus of SmackDown on Fox come October. And the reason for that is she's been consistently in the marketing for the Fox show. And at some point, Fox is going to have its own roster. And I don't think that Fox is going to enjoy sharing talent. And keep in mind, when Fox signed this deal with WWE for 5 years and $1 billion, yes, that's billion with a B, Fox was promised John Cena, Ronda Rousey, Roman Reigns, and Charlotte Flair. And right now, at the moment, they have Charlotte Flair.
Well, Roman Reigns, too.
Roman doesn't want to be on SmackDown.
Yeah, but he's on the SmackDown roster. He doesn't want to be there, but he will be there.
And essentially, I think he's just doing TVs.
Yeah, he was on SmackDown this week.
No, but my point is that they advertise him on SmackDown house shows.
Oh, right.
And I don't think he's doing SmackDown house shows. I think he's doing Raw instead.
Oh, okay. We'll have to keep an eye on that one then, here on out.
Which is bad.
Yeah, I don't like that. I think that if it were to happen, if Charlotte were to become a two-belt like Becky, it's going to happen going into SummerSlam or...
Coming out of SummerSlam.
Or coming out, one of the two. Yeah, it'll be done by October. And I think, actually, I like that scenario. I really do. I think that'd be good for the whole roster, shake it up. Like to what I was saying before, you have everyone reach for Charlotte, have her be the top dog, and... You know, I think that'd be beneficial for the whole roster and just make everyone better than they actually are. Not that they're not, but I think it would be best for business if Charlotte were a two interbrand champion, and then you shake it up. They go exclusive once the deal comes into place for October, once the new telecast comes in.
Final question that we'll take here comes from Roy from Revere.
Catchy.
Mike, what's the best wrestling match you have ever seen in person?
It's not a WWE one. It's not. I haven't been to AEW yet. But it's a couple years ago. Jay Stu, you and I were in Lowell, Massachusetts, the Lowell Memorial Auditorium where Shawn Michaels lost his smile. June 23rd, 2017. It was second last match, three-way tornado tag team match for the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championship. The Young Bucks. They defeated War Machine and Best Friends. I thought War Machine had the match. It was an awesome, just athleticism from them. The Young Bucks were great, and I know they get the rap right now from some people as being overrated. I was so invested. It was a 12-minute, 27-second match. It was before the main event, Cody Rhodes, where he beat Christopher Daniels to win the Ring of Honor World Championship. And again, that match was so hot. Everything was great. So exciting. On my toes. That was the most exciting match I've seen in my life to be a part of. So that is it right there in person in front of a sold-out crowd, and part of the sold-out crowd in Lowell, which is a great venue for professional wrestling.
Yep, they'll be there the 21st Sunday night for a Ring of Honor live event. As well, yep. Of course, Matt Taven main eventing that show. Of course.
And a very close, that's a good main event. Very close second was the Gargano Adam Cole one at NXT TakeOver New York this year. That was a really good match, too. Really enjoyed that.
So that is my recency bias.
Aha, okay.
Gargano and Cole from NXT in Brooklyn, yep. Which we've documented here.
Awesome.
Also on my list is Chris Benoit versus Kurt Angle from the Royal Rumble in Boston.
Yep.
As well as the Hell in a Cell from WrestleMania in Miami between Undertaker and Shawn Michaels.
Okay. That was a good one, too.
Those are the recency bias is the Gargano Cole match from NXT. For a long time, that Benoit Kurt Angle match from the Royal Rumble. And that Miami Hell in a Cell was just something special there.
And you had Shawn Michaels in there, too. All the big
Shawn
giants.
Shawn is the special referee for Triple H and Undertaker.
Yeah, That's a great one.
Just good stuff. And that was an hour. The match time wasn't an hour, but from entrance to exit was about an hour of time. And there were so many points in that match where the streak was over. There was a combination super kick into a pedigree, and Shawn Michaels is counting the fall, and Undertaker kicks out. And what made that work, and what made everybody in Miami think that that was it, was the timing of it. Super kick, pedigree, right for the cover, and Shawn counting the pin, and it was very fluid. And when the Undertaker kicked out, it was like, oh, he just kicked out of those two finishers. Wow, the streak might never end.
Yep.
But it was the timing, and because what'll happen sometimes is you'll get a double finisher like that or a finisher like that, and then there'll be the stall to kind of protect it.
Absolutely.
And they didn't feel like they needed to protect it in there because it was the Undertaker. And the Undertaker ended up winning that match. You know, one of my favorites.
2 years later.
Of course, a sleeper that I seem to always mention is CM Punk versus Chris Jericho, which kind of got buried on that show, but that's a favorite match of mine in person.
Uh-huh. Yep. Okay. Nice. That's a tough question.
Oh, it's a fabulous question.
Made me think about that.
And it goes to, like, what's your favorite pay-per-view? What's your favorite WrestleMania? And it's all, you either have
personal.
One that stands out that can't be touched, or you have a group of them. And Benoit versus Kurt Angle was that match for a long time because I had emotional attachments to both. And then it became the Hell in a Cell match. And then more recently, it's Gargano and Adam Cole.
Yeah, at the NXT. That was a
That 2 out of 3
match.
Fall match was just
phenomenal.
Amazing. And, you know, being there and being as close to it as I was is just, you know.
Sure.
You can't, it's hard to top that.
It's a good one to be a part of.
So if things go well, I will be at Evolve on Sunday night in Melrose, Massachusetts.
Yep.
Where I think you will be as well.
Yes, that's the plan as of now.
And I think Scott Isaacs will be there as well.
Rumor and innuendo. Yep.
If you're going to those shows and you see us there, by all means, say hello, and thank me for being the savior of your wrestling podcast.
Well, Jimmy, also I do have to say you did a very nice job with Gabe Sapolsky. The brains behind Evolve. It was a really good interview, so go check that out in the archives. Gabe does a really nice job. I met him briefly last year in New Orleans on the way back from WrestleMania, and just a quick 2-3 minute conversation. Very nice gentleman. I know you've known him a long time, but he seemed like a really passionate about the business, and you've seen the product that he puts out there. So I'm really excited to see what he's putting out there for everyone to see in Melrose, Massachusetts. Also, local guy, Anthony Green, my boy, he's going to be a part of that show too. So this is going to be a good Evolve if you're in the area. It's a good one to get invested in.
And if you're a longtime wrestling fan and you went to ECW shows that were either at the Greyhound Park or in Waltham, I used to go to the ones in Waltham, and they would sell these paper programs. They were written by Gabe Sapolsky.
Oh,
they were written and put together by Gabe Sapolsky.
Look at that.
So Gabe's been in the business for a long time. And he's a good wrestling mind. He's a really good wrestling mind. So I hope nothing but success for him and his show on the WWE Network on Saturday night and the show in Melrose on Sunday night. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com. and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Mike Riley at Sarge985, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at IamJamesStewart.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.